Revelation chapter 17. This is not the verse that I want to leave you with. That verse is in Psalm 27. It's the next verse after the one we've been looking at, verse 4. Talking about in the time of trouble, the Lord shall hide you in His pavilion. He's going to take care of you. No matter what comes, He will provide. But Revelation 17 is end time. But one thing you can't do in the book of the Revelation is beginning with chapter 4 and think that it's just consecutive from 4 through chapter 22. Revelation is more like the wheels in the wheel that Ezekiel saw. 4 through 8 might be talking of one thing, and then 9 through 13 would be picking up in the middle of something that was previously spoken. So it's not in a consecutive order, but it's not a hard book to understand. So as we open it this morning, would you join with me as we pray? I have prayed for you, each of you individually. I trust that you have sought the Lord and that you've come prepared, hoping to receive from Him. But let us approach nigh unto our God. Our Father, we're so limited in words, limited in mind as to your greatness, your being infinite, your understanding of all things in the exact moment that we're in. 8 billion people. And yet what is taking place in their hearts and their minds at this moment, Thou art well aware. Equal with that knowledge is the end time after the work here on earth is finished and the church has been built. You've brought in your little flock. After that's done, even at this moment, you're well aware of, again, every individual as to what they shall be thinking. Thou understandest our thoughts afar off. Not only afar off, but from the very beginning when you said, and creation was. If we can just begin to understand a little of your greatness, your power, but even beyond this, your love. If we can find the heart of our blessed Lord, how it will direct our steps. It'll be a guardrail on both sides of the little path where we will not stray. All because of such love. My Father, would you empower work this morning in these hearts and others that will later hear. Provide for them. Continue to draw us, Lord, that we might faithfully continue to run after Thee. And may Christ our Lord, in the preaching, in the reception of the Word, and in our taking it home, may He be highly exalted and work in our hearts so we're coming to know more and more of what your love cost you, dear Lord. We bow to give thanks and to bless Thy holy, precious name. Have the flock speak to our hearts. Open Thy word to us and our understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 27, which we will go to at the very end, and in Isaiah 32, two verses there, and it speaks about the Lord hiding us in the time of trouble. That secret place, that little pavilion, and saying secret place, it does not mean that God will be removing you from society. You will continue on functioning as a member of the human race. But there's coming a time. Jacob's trouble, comparing. Well, I don't know if there could be any comparison to it's as great as that time when they leveled Jerusalem, tore all the stones of the temple down so that there was not one upon another to show them you missed Christ. You had Him in your midst, and you missed Him. You missed the true temple of God. Whether I will be around, used to think I would not, but now I don't know that any of us can say I will be gone when these things unfold. They are unfolding now. But so limited. So in Revelation 17, verse number 8, and following, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. The other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. It's hard to get two nations in agreement over anything, unless you might get two of the great powers, Russia, China, Iran, you might get them uniting, being confederate against the West. You might find that. But each does it, though united with the other nation, each does it for its own selfish purpose and reason. So you got ten horns, ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give the kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The saints' pavilion. The saints' hiding place, the saints' secret place in evil times, the Lord will provide. But then there are the general troubles that man faces just because he's a human being in a race, human race. Job 14, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You're going to have them just as being a human being, having nothing to do with Christ or the church, or you being a Christian. That's mankind in general, a few days and full of trouble. It all goes back to the garden, and God calling Adam and Eve to give an account for what they've done. And he said to Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. That which became a curse was sweat due to labor. Magnified none knows how many times, when there in the garden our Lord began to sweat great drops of blood, all because man ate a bite of forbidden fruit. Again, in Job, although afflictions come not from the dust, they just don't spring up haphazardly, Neither doth trouble spring of the ground. Yet man that is born of woman is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But now getting beyond the general troubles that all will face at times in their life, There comes these specific times when we've been warned repeatedly in Scripture. That time was when Israel, having rejected the king, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I would have gathered you as a mother hen doth gather her chickens, but ye would not. And because ye would not, your house is desolate, the temple, not one stone shall be left upon the other. And in the last, that little season, when Satan shall be loosed. Now here in our passage are 10 kings. And they shall rule for 1 hour. That doesn't mean 60 minutes. It's kind of like Christ to the Pharisees. This is your hour and the power of darkness. And that lasted for 3 or 4 days there. How long it will last in the end, no one knows. But it is coming, and in that hour, the harlot religious system gets the beast, mankind, worldly system, as directed by man, the government, the harlot system, and the beast are aligned. Paul said, I fought with the beast at Ephesus, not four-legged, two, because he had gone in and preached Jesus, said nothing about their temple, or nothing about their goddess Diana, that they were making money building shrines to her. But they turned on him in fury, had the rage of a beast. A beast as man is one that has been given up by God simply because he did not like to retain God in his knowledge. And God gave him over to a reprobate mind. You'll find that in Romans 1. There's nothing beyond themselves that they reach for. They follow only their natural senses. And that's why the scripture calls them beast. Now we're coming back here, but I want you to go with me to the little book before Revelation, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. What they know naturally. If there is no God, then man is the highest and the ultimate end of evolution. These as brute beasts. A beast is that lives only to gratify its senses. Woe unto them, verse 11. For they've gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Brute beast. Christianity differs from all religions. Not about 5 or 6 major religions, but over 4,000 worldwide. Christianity is the only one out of all of them differs in the specifics. All religions of the world differ from us. Your knowledge of God His Christ, His Spirit, the true church, His Word, your knowledge of the three in one God and His bride didn't come by natural education. God had to teach you. You didn't gain this because you're a member of the human race. If God doesn't do something to you, you will stay in the other category, which is an unbeliever. And when God gives up, all man's striving for is just to gratify his senses. But when the Spirit of God works in one, and he teaches, you shall all be taught of God. Well, let me be more specific in that being taught of God. John 6:44, you need not turn. Jesus said, no man shall come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Who comes then? Christ answered that. They shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Man can know God and man can know Christ, not know an A from an X, not being able to put letters together to write a little small word, not able to read, and yet he can know God. You can't know God by natural mentality. That which makes Christianity differ from all other religions is we got one small gate and one very narrow way. And any that makes these wider than what Christ did, either the gate or the way, then they fall under the category of the false religion Jude is talking about. Because the brute beast, they know these things. They might know what you know as far as about God, but you know God. They might know about Jesus, but you know the Lord Jesus. Brute beast. Well, Jude describes them. They've gone in the way of Cain. They're religious. They brought an offering or bring an offering unto God. But it's their labor. They have more involved in what they bring, but they bring an offering without blood. Differ from Abel's, gone in the way of Cain. A sacrifice, not of blood, but a little sweat and producing their own sacrifice. Abel knew what was the acceptable sacrifice. How'd he know? Adam told him, boys, your mother and I fail. And God slew two animals. And by the shedding of blood, pointing unto the coming of the Son of God and his spilt blood, we were brought back to God. So Abel knew, Cain knew, but he didn't need that great a sacrifice. Then there are those that fall under the labor of Balaam. They do what they do for the love of money. And Corey had a religion that was without a priesthood. I'm as qualified as Moses, Aaron, or anybody else that God has chosen to be priest in the nation of Israel. Now that's a brute beast. Well, Peter continued to go back towards the beginning of the New Testament to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter 2:12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Eyes full of adultery they have. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. They've forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, all because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Natural brute beasts, destitute of reason. Now that's man that God's given up. So the beast in Revelation 17, the 10 kings, give their authority unto the beast. Man, in his highest intellectual mind, can still go about as a natural four-footed beast, driven only by its nature. Now the beast of the fields, they live to eat, to drink, and to reproduce. That's all they ever live for. Man, given up by God, will end up like that, speaking evil of those things that they do not understand. God, His Bible, creation, salvation, the new birth, the church, the bride of Christ, they don't understand that. Now here is wisdom, Revelation 13. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is as man. His number is 600, 666. 666. It will not be some number in a man's forehead or on his hand. It won't be something that is visible. God giving him up, giving him over, and his understanding running only in the direction of that which the beast of the fields roam. What was the condemnation of the world before the flood? As in the days of Noah. Name what they were doing. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. You see anything wrong with any of that? No. God ordained it all. What were they doing then that God destroyed such a mass of humanity? What was their condemnation? Following natural senses. No exercise of anything outside natural senses. And their life had been reduced to little more than that of an animal. No God. In everything they did it without an eye to a creator. is not that where we are or close to being today. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore, whether ye eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. What was the second period that brought great judgment of God down where he destroyed many, many people? Lot and two daughters got out only by angels snatching them. They were so attached to this old world. Well, what was happening in the days of Lot? They did eat, they drank, they planted, they builded. All necessary for the maintenance of life. But no God was in their mind. And in the end, they got hearts like beasts. And when Lot went out and pleaded with those men knocking on his door that he would send out the two visitors, two men, he begged them, don't do this. But they grabbed him, his arm, pulled him back inside the door and struck the other men with blindness. Now you would think that a man that was seeing and 1 second later was totally blind, you would think that he would walk away from what he was trying to do. No. They stumbled around trying to find the door. They were so consumed by their natural senses. No God. That's where man goes when God's out of the picture. All necessary in the days of Lot and Noah as to what they were doing. Do you know what God said was the sin of your sister Sodom in Ezekiel? Do you think he mentioned sodomy? Nope. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. My. Is that not this land? Where is God? God is not in all the thoughts of mankind. Only place God is, though we know God's everywhere, but the only place God is revealing himself is in that little flock, that little church. Now you think that it's impossible for you to get there. Listen to what Asaph said in the 73rd Psalm. So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. This is God's child. That's how far he has drifted from the Lord. We don't know the extent to which a Christian will fall if God leaves him to himself and he or she begins to reduce life only to that of a beastly survival. David prayed in Psalm 19, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright. If you'll hold me up, and if you'll keep me away from presumptuous sins, then I will walk throughout the land on 2 feet like a human being. But Lord, if you don't hold me up, Asaph, Lord, I had fallen so far that I was as a beast before thee. I'd lost any resemblance in my being as to God being relevant in my life. Our land. Everywhere you turn, And now go back with me and we'll complete here in Revelation 17. I hope I have labored sufficiently and clearly enough to show you the difference between a Christian and a beast. And at the same time warned you that God leaving a Christian alone, he can end up acting like a beast. God nowhere to be found in his life. Now Revelation verse number 12. The kings of the earth, the ten horns, they receive power 1 hour with the beast. They give, in verse 13, they give their power and their strength unto the beast. Now, who are the people? Verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And 16, finally you come to the separation of a one world system acting no different than a brute beast of the field. United as one. But in verse 16, it finally is brought out into the open. The beast hate the whore. No use for her. That's that little season that John writes about in chapter 20. Right now the beast and the harlot are together. She sitting on his back. But the kings of the world, they're getting tired of religion, of the harlot demanding. And she has been storing up treasure, gaining by taking from them. And they've given her tax exemption. And she has accumulated great wealth. One time, the Southern Baptist was one of the most wealthy, gotta say, organizations, corporations, whatever, in the world. I don't know how they rank today. But where'd she get her riches? Taking from the beast. And Paul writes about perilous times coming in the end. In our world, right now, it's filled with violence from one coast to the other coast. From what used to be a southern border to the northern boundary between America and Canada. Violence. Drugs. Murder. Openly attacking innocent people walking down the sidewalk, killing mailmen and police officers and just anyone that they want to, going unpunished. Or if they are caught, they soon are freed upon this no bail system that these wicked, ungodly men are financing these district attorneys. Well, preacher, are you getting too much? No, this is how far sin has gone. This is the corruption that abounds today because man doesn't have a God. And he's acting no different than a beast. Now, Paul writing about the perilous times in the end, well, look around, children, it's everywhere. Oh, it's not mentioned too much on the major news networks. Oh, there's a little uprising here or a little there, but it's not bad. But about all you hear and see being displayed today, is as though the depravity of man has risen to its height because God has left them alone. Man is no longer subdued by the laws of the land or the laws of government. You're living in a land where there is no respect from the highest authority down to the local jurisdictions. They hate any and all authority. That's why such rebellion is going on in this land. Openly, unafraid, killing, murdering even children. God giving up a people brings us to the harlot and the beast. Right now, they're still together, but that's coming to an end. Corruption today that a generation ago, only a generation ago, was hidden under the darkness of night. It is so vile. Corruption is running so deep in the streets. Depravity of man being manifest as being without law and without control. And anybody that opposes this, you're nothing but bigots, racist, you're judgmental. No such thing as judgmental here. You're just calling things what they are by looking. God, having given a nation up, given man over to a reprobate mind, total depravity is now showing itself throughout the land. But one of the most dangerous, deadly poisons that was spread across this land was a declaration of the truth of God without the power of God. They are declaring as if truth in and of itself can affect a change in people. Impossible. No power. But what they've done, this is in my lifetime and before I got here, the religious boys, they've compassed land and sea just to get one proselyte. And when they get him into their religion, they've made him twofold more the child of hell. You remember Christian, Bunyan's Christian, trying to get to that place where that heavy load, the burden on his back, will be lifted. And he runs across a man. I forgot the man's name, but he points him, you see that house beyond the hill there? It's a shorter distance, and the one that lives there, Mr. Legality, will free you of your burdens. It's a shorter way. You just got to get there. There you can keep your life here because there the burden is removed by legality in the scriptures. Isn't that prevalent? Hasn't that been prevalent my lifetime? Isn't this what the old men of the previous two generations were warning about? Telling you what was coming, but nobody paid any attention to them. their authority and their power had been lost. God had removed that to bring this nation to this point of reprobation. And it's coming, probably already here in many places, a pure hatred for a Bible or anyone that holds to it or would dare declare it. This is where we are. And they've given, the ten kings have given their power, had power for an hour. They've given their power over to the beast. Man, just being man, acting solely upon the nature he received at birth. And the harlot. Well, I told you we'd get to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, this is where David what are you going to do? Is the preacher removing all hope? Are we living in a place now that all we got to look forward to is complete destruction in our land as they continue to destroy our governing constitution, our legal systems? What are you to do? You get as close to the Lord as you possibly can. And this is what David promised. The Lord promised us. Verse 5, Psalm 27. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. Shall you be forsaken during this time? No. No, you will not be. There's another verse I want you to turn, Isaiah 32. This is the last that I'll ask you to turn. When God hides you in his pavilion, does that mean that God takes you out of the workplace, out of a family setting, out from a citizenship of your society? No. It does not mean that. But it means everywhere you go, you're in his little pavilion. Isaiah 32, verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Now, that probably has reference to Hezekiah, but all scripture has reference to the greater king. Not Hezekiah, and not David or Solomon, but to the King of Kings. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the tempest, and a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This man shall be to all his children, as you won't be hidden. And then again in society, you will be hidden because of this king, this man. He is as a covert. That place that you gather to get away from the approaching storm. But here again, as a covert, no place you can hide. He does not want you going off building some little monastery where you and your family can live. It's not what he's doing. He is as a covert from the tepid. He is as rivers of water. You're talking about a place of dryness in our land. A place of no rain, no moisture. No place where the word of God is being distilled as dew or falling as a gentle rain. No place. But Jesus Christ, this man, shall be as rivers of water in a dry place. Does that mean every day you're going to find him and every day you're going to live with the realization of Christ is very near me? I don't think so. I haven't found one yet. But I know several that he is as rivers of water. In this land of famine. And he is as the shadow of a great rock. You keep walking. You keep laboring. You keep providing for your family. You keep taking care of your responsibilities as a citizen as best as you can. And you doing that, Christ becomes our pavilion. I do not know if you will accept what I told you about that in Revelation 17, the 10 kings and the harlot. I don't know. But I know this, all you've got to do to see the wickedness rising to such a height that it as it is today, all you've got to do, not take my word, just look around you. You walk and you live so as your Lord becomes this place of security and this place of safety. Even when he would have you cross turbulent waters and the wind blowing into your face and the waves rocking the ship or boat you're in. He is your safe. He might be asleep. It seems as though we can take that impression today. But he has withdrawn his hand from mankind. And when God does that, man reverts back to a complete beastly mode. Remember what David and Asaph warned. Lord, I was as a beast before you. Lord, if you'll keep me, if you'll hold me up, then I shall walk upright like a human being. It's difficult times to even live in these times, children, but you must. But with an eye to your pavilion, your covert, your hiding place. You are safe at the workplace. You're safe in your home. You're safe riding down the highway. As long as you have yielded your life to the King of Kings. May God help us, children. This is just the beginning of the great tribulation around us. But God will provide, God will take care.